Hey, welcome back to another episode of the HUD Post podcast. I'm James De Los Santos, and today I have a special guest. My guest was the founder of the Hudson County chapter of Moms Demand Action. She was elected to the Hoboken Council in 2017, and now she's the leading candidate to become Hoboken's next mayor. My guest, Emily Jabor.
Thank you so much for having me.
For sure. Thank you. I appreciate your time. I know this month is crunch time and you're probably knocking on doors and your feet are probably hurting. So I appreciate you taking the time to sit down to talk to us.
Yes, it's definitely busy. My voice is a little hoarse from all the talking, so apologies.
No worries. So what I like to do when I get on our podcast, I like to get into personal lives about the people who are, you know, attempting to become the leaders of our community. And I think one thing that really relates to people is their childhood. So my first question for you is, what type of child were you? What was your childhood like? And just tell me a little bit about that.
Sure. So I grew up in Massachusetts. I grew up in a suburban college town, Wellesley, Massachusetts, west of Boston. And you know, it was a nice town. My parents moved there because they knew that the public schools were great in that town, because they knew that they were working class family who wouldn't afford private education. And so they wanted to make sure to give my sister and I the best shot. And so I grew up in a community that definitely had, I would say, a lot of wealth around us. We weren't necessarily a wealthy family by any means. We were very middle class. But Wellesley has become, especially of late, I would say, a very privileged community. But I remember learning kind of early on about my sense of privilege through a program called the Metco program. In Boston, there was this busing program that would take kids who were of school age from inner city Boston and drive them out to suburban communities like Wellesley. And we were a host family from the time I was in kindergarten. I remember hosting a student, and she became one of my very good friends and was with me all the way till I graduated Wellesley High School. But I remember this sense of like what her life was like versus mine. And I learned very early on just how much privilege I had growing up in a community like that. And you just kind of develop a different sense of how you show up in the world that way. And I remember getting involved from an early age with Girl Scouts. We were always doing service projects. We would make sandwiches to give out to people who were in need. And then by fifth grade, I have this very distinct memory of wanting to run for student council. It was the first year that you could run to be a representative for your class. And I remember thinking, well, I've got things I believe in and things I want to say. And that was the first time I kind of ran for office. But I was always an opinionated kid and I always wanted to stand up for the things I believed in. So I think my interest in public service started very young.
What do you think those principles or those experiences brought for you to Hoboken and why you ran for council in the first place?
Sure. When I moved to Hoboken, I moved here because my husband's originally from Morris County. We met in college up in Massachusetts. And when we were engaged, we wanted to settle in together, but have a little more space. And my husband had been in Manhattan. I was in Washington, D.C. And so we moved to Hoboken. And I remember our first night here.
Isn't that funny to hear? You moved to Hoboken for more space.
Yes, for more space. Yes. At that time, definitely. My husband was in a terrible studio apartment in the Hell's Kitchen. Mm-hmm. Like, I just did not want to live there. So we came here and I remember the first night we moved my things into our rental and we walked up to Washington Street. We had dinner at Margarita's, which was originally like a BYOB place, met up with some friends, stopped for a drink on the way home. Like, and I got home at the end of the night and I remember saying to my now husband, like, this is amazing. Like, I love living in this area. This is so nice. Like, I was sold immediately on Hoboken. Like, I just loved it. And I immediately reached out and wanted to start getting involved in community efforts. You know, my background being in social work, like, to me, you always give to the community that you're part of. It's a really important part of how I show up. And I started volunteering with True Mentors. True Mentors was a program that was started just in Hoboken. It was meant to be a mentoring program for local kids. And I was one of the first set of mentors as part of that program. And, you know, I started learning more about the community and it was, you know, down at the Boys and Girls Club. And I started to kind of get to know different people. And before you know it, you know, I had two kids and I start showing up to Board of Education meetings and, you know, getting more involved. And I had started Moms Demand Action, the Hudson County chapter of Moms Demand Action, because I had been part of an active shooter drill at my daughter's pre-K program. And it was the kind of moment where you gut check yourself and say, I'm not okay with this. And what am I going to do about it? And so I went home, I reached out and said, you know, I want to go to a meeting. Whose meeting can I go to? And they said, we don't have anybody in your area, but you could start the meeting. And I went, I have two infant children. Like, what are you talking about? And they coached me through it and got me connected to their network it taught me a lot about local advocacy, because I think from my background being in social work, I certainly learned some elements of community organizing through that program in my grad school, but it felt like a very different, more personal mission to get involved in this issue locally. And so I reached out to all my elected officials to come to our meetings. I wanted to kind of get to know people. I went to coffee with a cop and got to know the police chief. You know, I kind of just started moving around slightly different circles. And before I knew it, Mayor Don Zimmer asked me if I would be interested in running for city council. And I had not thought about that at all. So she kind of...
So it was bestowed on you. So it wasn't something that you... that you ran towards is something that got, actually got chosen
it
for
came
you.
To me. Amazing. Yes. I didn't think I was necessarily, you know, the right person for it. I said to her, I was like, I don't know about that. Why do you want me to do this? Like, what did you see? And you know, we started a series of conversations really about it and her experience, particularly for her being the first woman to be mayor of Hoboken. You know, she took on great challenges in that role. And so she had originally been planning to run for a third term and then ultimately decided not to seek re-election. And so the dynamics of that election sort of shifted. But I was very grateful that she saw something in me that she felt would be meaningful in terms of getting involved in a local office.
What did you learn through this experience so far?
I definitely learned a lot about myself when it comes to how you stand up for your beliefs. For me, I professionally work in an environment that's very collegial. We're like a library atmosphere. You walk around, it's quiet. It's all like, you know, people who are like working together. We do a lot of team-oriented approaches. And then you show up at a council meeting and you're kind of like on your own defending your ideas and your proposals and your position. And it taught me a lot about what it is to advocate in that kind of an environment where you're not necessarily, you know, you may have a room full of people who disagree with you. So how do you show up there and defend your position? And how do you really stand up for those things in a way that you feel good about? And from the beginning, I said to myself, you know, I don't want to get dragged into things that are ugly. I want to make sure I'm always thinking about my daughters being in the room and will they be proud of me? And will they think that I fought for something in a way that speaks to the merits of the policy or whatever the case may be? And it, you know, sometimes it's hard to do that. You know, there's a lot of really crazy things that go on at Hoboken Council meetings some days, but it taught me how to stand up for what I believe in a different kind of way. And I realized how my skill set could be effective when it comes to local government. And something I have really, I think, most enjoyed is connecting people into services and connecting people into how the government can support them locally. It's something I've used social media to connect with people very often. With this campaign, I've done a lot of like videos and like I'm on TikTok now, things I never thought would happen as a 45-year-old adult. But I'm trying to meet people where they're at to talk to them about how the city works. You know, it could be anything from somebody who just feels like, you know, my block is dirty. How do I report that there's litter on my block to I'm a renter and I'm getting, you know, price gouged out of my apartment because of an exorbitant rent increase. Like, what, you know, who can help me? And you connect them with the tenant advocate. Like, there's a lot of really great things that happen out of City Hall, but people don't know who to talk to or where to go. And I like that I've been able to be that connector. And it's something I'm really proud of because I think we have a lot of work to do to connect with our residents about how we work locally and all the different ways that local government touches your life.
So that brings me to a great question. So you came out in first place in the general election. In my eyes, you're the leading candidate and most likely to become Hoboken's next mayor. So what does Hoboken look like under your mayorship?
Sure. Well, I'm really excited for the results of the November election, certainly, not just for myself, but also the team of council candidates that ran with me. I think in particular for those candidates on the council side of things, they represent three very different Hoboken stories. One of the things that's really unique about this community is the diversity of people and experiences that come to bear in one square mile. It's kind of an incredible geographic setup in terms of what 60,000 people in a square mile looks like and how we interact as neighbors. And so, you know, Caitlin grew up here. She's a renter. She has a young daughter. Like, she's in her 30s. Like, she has a very unique perspective as compared to me having, you know, moved here 17 years ago, raising my daughters here, but having grown up elsewhere. And then Steve Firestone is, you know, a professor of finance. He had a long career in finance on Wall Street before he went and became a professor and living in academia. His children are grown. He's older than me. And, you know, he has a slightly different perspective. And then you've got Joe Quintero, who grew up in New Jersey, but like kind of an immigrant family story and really like worked to be the guy who made his way through law school. And, you know, he's been working with me on the council for the last 4 years to really do a lot of great work around rent, protecting renters and rent control in particular. So I think they like our team dynamic was really important and critical to how we showed up across this community. I think we did a lot of work to reach out to people. We did a lot of listening. What do people care about? What do you think about? Not just kind of talking at people about our vision, but to learn and build our message based on what we were hearing. So I think the results of that November election are really validating that we did a good job connecting with people and speaking to the concerns that they're feeling and experiencing, whether that's affordability or concerns about pedestrian safety, any number of things. You know, my vision for where I would take the city under, you know, a Mayor Jabor, I think we need to focus on connecting with people in a really different way. And that, you know, I kind of spoke to that already, but I think there needs to be a really hyper-local approach to how leadership shows up. And I really like the idea of bringing back neighborhood meetings and town hall meetings and just giving people more of an opportunity to get together in person. You know, in theory, people can come to council meetings and you get 5 minutes at the microphone to talk to us about anything. But honestly, how often do people have time, you know, 7 o'clock on a Wednesday night to come to City Hall to come and share their concerns? And usually by the time they get there, if they're that motivated to do it that way, they're probably feeling really frustrated or really angry, like kind of at, you know, a higher intensity, then maybe it would have, you know, been diffused if it had been brought up earlier in a more informal setting. I really think we need to do a tremendous amount of outreach, even in one square mile city, to show up for people on their corners and talk about what they're experiencing in a really hyper-local way. There's a number of quality of life issues that I'm hearing about every day from neighbors at the doors about, you know, anything from litter and dog poop to e-bikes to just wanting to feel safe moving around the city, and public safety being our absolute number one priority. You know, that is something that keeps kind of popping up of late. You know, I think Hoboken is a very safe city, but social media kind of amplifies when these instances happen. And so there've been a couple of really, I think, high profile instances of situations where people have not felt safe. And we really need to speak to that. And so I think CAPS meetings, which are community and public safety meetings that have been happening quarterly, have been a really nice opportunity to kind of have a public safety conversation in a smaller group kind of way. I actually really want to move that model and do that across the board with any number of different departments, whether it's transportation to talk about pedestrian safety, whether it's our engineer to talk about infrastructure, or if it's the parking utility to talk about parking policy. Like, we need to really meet people where they're at and start talking to them about how our city works and how we can work better.
So I know you broke down your council and how everyone has different experiences, different life ages. So I wanted to get into your life. You're a mother of two, and I wanted to understand how that dynamic plays into the decisions you make as a councilwoman now and how they'll play into when you're the mayor.
Sure. So my daughters are 10 and 13. They they motivate me every day, because I think it's, you know, it's kind of crazy that I'm running for mayor as their mom. Like, I can't imagine what that's like for them in this current environment with, you know, all the things that happen. It's such a funny thing, but I'm really proud that they're excited for me and proud of me and think that's normal. Like, I don't know. I think it's an incredible thing, potentially only be the second woman to be mayor of Hoboken. But for them, they've only known their mom as being somebody who's a community leader. Like, that's a cool thing. And honestly, from the moment I started getting involved and my first campaign back in 2017, my daughters were still so little that I was pushing a stroller around, and I would push the stroller around, and I'd be handing out literature, and I'd have like my pins and everything. And like, you know, I would talk about, part of my motivation to want to run for office was to make the city safer for somebody like me pushing a stroller, because I don't think I really fully understood how dangerous a city could be until your children are in front of you and you're crossing a street with an aggressive driver or somebody who doesn't stop or any number of things, clutter on the sidewalk. You have a UPS truck that's blocking the corner and you can't see. Like, I saw that right away. And it was one of those things that really motivated me to get more involved. And so one of the things I really dug my teeth into initially on the city council when I first got involved was Vision Zero. And this idea that, you know, we need to build infrastructure that keeps our streets safer, because people are always going to do crazy things on the road and find a way. So how do you make sure that the infrastructure is set up to create as much protection as possible for people moving around and bicyclists? And it was so meaningful to me because you could see the changes. Like, I work, you know, my job has been in the federal government my whole career, and you're so far away from like children and families. And then all of a sudden I'm on city council and I'm able to get a stop sign on this corner. And like, I did that. Like, that's cool. Like, I felt really gratified to have such a tangible work product getting involved in the city council. That was really motivating for me. And once you kind of started to get that bug, you think about the city differently and you would walk around every day. And I'm totally the person who has my camera phone out all the time taking pictures of like, this is broken, this needs that, 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 that. Like, I just wanted to get out there and start solving all of the issues I was seeing around me. So I loved that initial experience getting more involved in the council from that perspective. Like, the work of it was really gratifying for me.
Describe how you would rate the performance of the last two administrations that you've been under.
Sure. Technically, I didn't serve on the council under Dawn. I just kind of was involved in the campaign side, I will say. But I really, I admired Dawn's vision for Hoboken. Like, she had a very distinct mission, which was her interest in investing in open spaces and resiliency. And for me, I experienced Hurricane Sandy or Superstorm Sandy in Hoboken. I was trapped for 2.5 days. My daughter had just been born. Our car was one of two that survived in our garage because the whole thing got flooded. And so her vision around Rebuild by Design and all of the long-term vision she had to protect Hoboken, I thought that's her legacy. I think that's really important and has shaped who Hoboken is and how, like, I always say, Hoboken kind of punches above its weight in the world. We are a 1 square mile city, but we have tremendous influence. I would say under Mayor Bala, you know, the thing that I think was most meaningful during his tenure was how we responded to COVID. COVID was such an incredible and challenging time because there's no guidebook. Like, what do you do during a global pandemic? How do you govern? How do you make decisions? And we quickly went from having to shut down the bars and restaurants to protect people on the public health basis to then we needed to deliver meals to seniors. And it was talking to the seniors through the door about how they could get vaccinated or tested. And like, it was just a masterclass in government because all of us had to work together in a very different way. And so we were having council meetings every morning to get briefed. We were really synced up with the administration and how they were showing up for the community and figuring out, you know, how do you move through this really challenging and totally in the dark time. Like, my daughters were like, Mom, what did you do when there was a pandemic and you were a kid? And I was like, no, there hasn't been one before. Like, this never has happened. I don't know what to do. We're learning. And so what a crazy time that was. And like, also homeschooling our kids during all of that while also doing all the governmental things was like really crazy. But to me, that was a really defining moment, I would say, for the Bala administration.
So what do you want to be known for? What do you think a Mayor Jabor signature achievement, what do you want that to be?
I would like to take City Hall back to a time of really close community engagement. I think there is a need to bring City Hall out of City Hall to get to connect to people in all of the places and spaces. You know, when you're a square mile city, that should be very achievable. To show up for people across the city in a very different way, but to also create accessibility there. You know, being in the federal government for my career, I had a boss for most of my time who always used to talk about removing the red tape. There's a lot of red tape around the way that the city works. And I think reducing those barriers and getting people to feel really connected within their community and taking the lead on that for any number of issues. You know, there's a lot of challenges in our town right now. Just the day-to-day experience of things, or if it's like working with the unhoused population, dealing with the fact that right now SNAP benefits were cut and people are food insecure. Like, there's so many aspects of that that I think we just really need to figure out how we show up for people in a really hyper-local way and, you know, just be out there and be really visible. I think I need people to understand that local government can be really helpful and very present in their lives in a really important way.
Talking about challenges that Hoboken is facing, I think one, I guess, very visible and notable challenge right now is that the Trump administration has a lawsuit against Hoboken, Jersey City, and other cities across the country for what they call sanctuary cities. So essentially, you could become the punching bag for the president of the United States. How are you going to face those challenges while being the mayor?
You know, I think the message of Hoboken as a fair and welcoming city is a really important one, because there's a lot of people, again, the diversity of experiences and people who are here. This administration brings fear to people, and it makes them worried about their well-being and their safety and the safety of their families. And I think this message is an important one, because we want Hoboken to be a safe place for people, no matter what color they are, how they show up. I don't want anyone to feel targeted for the sake of those factors. There's also, you know, I've been part of a Pride Advisory Council about working on ensuring that our queer community feels protected and safe. And for them too, you know, that this is a really challenging time. So for me, it's super important that we continue to support that concept, because it sends the right message to our electorate and to our residents about what we stand for and who we are as a community. Less than 1% of our local budget is informed by federal funding. So I was nervous about a change in governor, because I think that actually financially has a much bigger impact potentially. But I think, you know, we really have to continue to make sure that we stand up for the things that we believe in. And I think that's been a really important testimonial to who Hoboken is, to continue to support that. And there's certainly solidarity with Jersey City and some of the other cities that have been targeted. But I do think it's an important message to ensure people feel seen and heard and validated.
It's election time, and people are trying to decide who to vote for. What separates you from your opponent, and why should people choose to vote for you versus the other?
Sure. You know, for me, I've had a track record for 8 years of really showing up for people. I didn't start doing it just because, you know, along the way it became campaign season or something like that. This is how I work. I have always been a very productive person, and took very seriously the mantle of public service in that role as a council person. I've been very effective, even at times that it felt challenging and it didn't feel like there were resources to be able to address concerns. I always made a lane for how I could be in a role to connect with people, to solve problems, you know, and just to show up when they needed me, whether that was a tag on Facebook, an email, a phone call. You know, I have been the most responsive council person in my 8 years. I have also, you know, taken on initiatives that I think are important. So whether it was Vision Zero or supporting something like the Pride Advisory Council, you know, those were things that I wanted to use my role in order to communicate to this community how I want to show up for people. I really come at this from a place of public service. That's important to me. You know, I would say comparatively, my competitor has a long history in Hoboken politics, over 20 years. I think I represent where Hoboken is going in the future. I think that the work that has been done in Hoboken, you know, when I first moved here was around the time that Mayor Camerano got into trouble. And, you know, Hoboken doesn't have a great history when it comes to, unfortunately, corruption. And I'm very concerned about some of the facts that exist about my competitor in terms of how he has worked over his tenure on the city council. And I don't think people know a lot of Hoboken's history. I think often the electorate in Hoboken can turn over very quickly. We're a town where sometimes people just are only here for a few years at a time. And so, you know, people don't always know the history in terms of how it has worked in the past, in some might say the good old days. I'm very nervous that the progress that we have made could be derailed. And so I think we need to continue to promote and prioritize initiatives like Vision Zero and building resiliency. You know, we have some very real challenges when it comes to flooding in the city. And so Rebuild by Design and those long-term investments, you know, you need a steady set of hands to see that through. And I think I'm the right person to both take seriously the legacy that's been built before me, and to build on the right building blocks to keep Hoboken on the right track and make sure that we don't repeat the mistakes of the past.
I believe the drawing happened right before our meeting. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm in position number one. So, and Team Emily is in positions 4, 5, and 6. So yeah, the new information with our new ballot positions will be out soon enough. So a runoff is on Tuesday, December 2nd. I keep reminding people there will not be any early voting this time around. That was a great resource for people to have that advantage to make a plan to vote ahead of November's election date. But in fact, Tuesday, December 2nd is the Tuesday after Thanksgiving. So it's also potentially a time that people will be out of town. So I'm really encouraging people to use the resource of the vote by mail. We actually have applications for vote by mails at our campaign headquarters at 1200 Washington Street. You can request a vote by mail through those forms through November 25th, and that will ensure that you get a vote by mail in time to vote by December 2nd. So I'm encouraging people to either vote by mail by December 2nd or to show up on December 2nd at your usual polling location.